You're listening to the Trinity Podcast. We are a multi-site church in the Chicago area whose mission is to help you look, live, and love more like Jesus.
So when I worked in college ministry at the University of Illinois at Chicago, we partnered with an organization called Breakthrough Ministries. Breakthrough's whole mission was to help people who were living on the streets get into homes and into jobs. And so one of the things that we did is we put together care packages for the homeless. Now, these care packages didn't have any money in them. Instead, they had a meal, some personal hygiene products, but then also a map to Breakthrough Ministries facility along with a CTA card so that they could actually make it there. That way they could sleep in a bed, have a roof over their head, and hopefully get into a program that got them on a path back to having a home and having a job. And so we went out in groups on the streets with these care packages to talk to the people that we met on the street. And there was one particular encounter that I think will stick with me the rest of my life. We'd been going around having conversations, many of them very positive, but we came across one man who was panhandling, and he asked us for some money. And we told him we didn't have any money to give him, but we did have a care package with a meal inside, and we were happy to pray over him. And the moment we told him this, his entire demeanor changed. His eyes suddenly became hard, he set his shoulders, and he said, "I don't take handouts," and he walked away. And it made me wonder, did he really want to get off the streets? Was he really wanting to get out of that life, or was he simply looking for money? You know, it's tough when you approach someone with, you know, something that you know will hopefully benefit them in some way, to put it in front of them, to give them the option, and yet to watch them walk away. It's very, very difficult to do that. It's one of the most heartbreaking things to see. And the reason I bring that up is because right now we're in the middle of a series that we're calling Enduring Friendship. And it's kind of an interesting way of thinking about friendship, because most of the time when we think about friendship, we're thinking about what common interests do we have, what are our personalities like, and so on and so forth. But what we're arguing through this series is that truly deep friendships aren't so much about finding common interests or having similar personalities. Enduring friendships are those relationships that can stand the test of time because they navigate difficult circumstances together well. And in order to do that, you really have to have three critical ingredients: truth, repentance, and grace. Last weekend, we talked about truth, the importance that truth plays, that being able to speak the truth to one another as well as receive the truth from each other is important for our growth because none of us is perfect. There will come moments in our friendships and relationships where we'll do things that hurt each other, sometimes unintentionally, sometimes intentionally. And in order to be able to grow together and to change and to be transformed, the truth is a vital piece. But the question is, what do you do once somebody presents the truth to you? It's one thing to hear the truth, it's another thing to respond to it. And oftentimes, one of the things that breaks down relationships is when one person is finally bold and courageous enough to speak the truth and the other person isn't willing to receive it. Just walks away, lets the relationship die. And that's why this second ingredient is so important, and that is repentance. And so this weekend, I want to talk a little bit about what repentance is. And what we need to understand when we think about repentance is that repentance involves going a new direction, leaving excuses behind, and walking the way of Calvary. Let me say that again. Repentance involves going a new direction, leaving excuses behind, and walking the way of Calvary. So let's talk a little bit about repentance. I think it's important to define this word because repentance is one of these words that we tend to throw around a lot in the church, but we really don't understand what it means. We tend to think of repentance as nothing more than an apology or a confession, but it's really so much more than that. It really is about a change in direction. I love how Pastor Brian Loritz puts it in his book, Enduring Friendship. Here's what he says. Wisdom is synonymous with repentance. And to repent is to change. Repentance is not confession. To confess is to change your words, but to repent is to change your actions. Repentance is the admission you are headed in the wrong direction. Repentance, this turning away from where you are in an effort to change, is not a one-time act, but a present, day-to-day walk. It's theologically incorrect to say we have repented, as if the issue will never resurface or we will never fail again. A more theologically and grammatically correct way to say it is we are repenting. You see, repentance really is a journey. It's about how we respond to the truth when someone is finally bold and courageous enough to share it with us. It involves being willing to go a new direction. You know, last week when I was preaching at Trinity Green Trails, I shared the story of how somebody in my life had to tell me a hard truth. It was the story of my very first performance review where my mentor, my friend, but my supervisor, Craig, told me that one of the issues that was getting in the way of my ministry and of my service to the students was my pride. He said, "You come across to some of your coworkers and to some of the students that you lead as prideful, Nick. And I want to help you address that pride so that it doesn't get in the way of the ministry that God has called you to do." Now, I'll be honest, that was a very, very hard truth to hear. And I could have immediately gotten defensive. I could have immediately brushed it off. I could have assumed that my coworkers were just being too sensitive and that my students were just being too sensitive and so on and so forth. The question was, when Craig presented that truth to me, was I willing to change? Was I willing to allow that truth to go deep and start me on this journey of repentance? You see, that's really what we have to wrestle with when the truth is presented to us. And the reality is that I've continued to struggle with this all through the rest of my life and ministry. Working with Craig was helpful in starting to address some of my pride, but my pride still comes up from time to time. It comes up when I feel attacked, overwhelmed, or brought face to face with my failures. I tend to try and justify them or cover them over, but I'm grateful that I not only have friends who tell me the truth, but who also help me to walk the journey. See, that's what my mentor and supervisor Craig did for me. He helped me to walk in a new direction. He not only told me the truth, but he joined me in this journey of repentance so that I might change and be transformed by it. We see the same thing happening in the book of Philemon. You see, both Philemon and Onesimus have to repent. Both are faced with a hard truth that they have to turn from. Onesimus has to come face to face with the fact that he's a thief, that he stole from Philemon. This is something that we know Paul talked with him about because he mentions it toward the end of the letter, talking about what Onesimus owes. Here's what he says. Writing to Philemon, he says, "If you consider me a partner, welcome Onesimus as you would welcome me. And if he has done you any wrong or owes you anything, charge it to me." See, Paul had to talk with Onesimus about making amends to Philemon and returning what he had taken. But what I love is that Paul was willing to walk with Onesimus in that journey and help him. But likewise, Philemon had things that he had to repent of as well. He was a slave owner. And Paul names that too. He doesn't, you know, tiptoe around it. He faces it head on. And here's what he tells Philemon. He says, "Perhaps the reason Onesimus was separated from you for a little while was that you might have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but better than a slave, as a dear brother. He is very dear to me, but even dearer to you, both as a fellow man and as a brother in the Lord." Paul confronts Philemon with this truth. He says, "You are a slave owner, and that is not right, because we don't own people. Onesimus is a fellow man. And more than that, he's a brother in the Lord, and so you need to receive him back, but no longer as a slave. For them to repent means that they not only need to be confronted with these truths, but they need to be willing to respond to them by going in a new direction. And what I love is that Paul helps them by arranging this road of repentance to guide them back to each other. He tells Onesimus, "I'll write the letter. And what you owe, if there's anything lacking, I will pay it." Likewise to Philemon, he reaches out to him and says, "You need to understand that I have spoken with Onesimus and told him to make amends and told him that he's coming back to you as a brother. And furthermore, I will join him. But when I get out of prison, I will come to your house and spend time with both of you." Paul actually not only speaks the truth and tells them to repent, he walks with them in that journey back toward one another. And what that means for us is that we need to not only be willing to hear the truth from our friends, but to allow that truth to change us. It's the humble acknowledgement that there's something in our lives that is out of step with God's desires for us, and then we need to be willing to allow that truth to take us on this journey. And so the key question that I think we all have to ask ourselves is this: what change in direction is the truth calling you to make? What change in direction is the truth calling you to make? Maybe you can think of a hard conversation that you've had recently with someone. With a friend, with a loved one, with a coworker, someone has brought you face to face with the truth, and it has been difficult. But the question to ask yourself now is, how will I respond? What new direction do I need to go in? And then who can help me walk that road well? Repentance is about a change in direction. It's being willing to admit that the direction where we were going is not what God has for us, and being willing to take a new path. But this change in direction also requires a great degree of humility. We need to be willing to acknowledge that something in us does need to change, be open to allowing that truth to change us, and accept the help of friends when we do. And that's why the next step in repentance involves leaving excuses behind. See, sadly, one of the things that gets in the way of our repenting is that often we hold on to grievances and offer justifications for our lack of repentance or forgiveness. Remember what we were talking about last week when it came to like horns and halos, right? When we have these conflicts with friends, we tend to put a halo on ourselves and horns on them. But in doing so, we miss an opportunity for real healing and growth in our relationships when we tend to justify ourselves and demonize the other person. See, we have to be willing to truly examine what it is we've brought to the table, how we may have harmed the other person or broken down the trust or injured the friendship in some way. We have to be willing to acknowledge the ways in which we have hurt the relationship and not place all the blame on the other person. Again, I think of something that Brian Loritz writes in his book. He says this, he says, "When both parties have the truth encounter, they are bound to bring two very different perspectives on what led to the downfall of their relationship. When I harm you in our odyssey of friendship, humility requires me to admit the truth that the offense is who I am. I don't like it. I want to grow past it, but I must own it first." You see, both Philemon and Onesimus have to do this for themselves and with one another. But the reality is that I could very easily see both of them offering excuses, right? I could see Philemon saying, "I'm not welcoming Onesimus back. He's a thief. He stole from me. He stole from my family. He broke the law and needs to be held accountable." But likewise, I could see Onesimus holding on to his own grievances, right? Saying, "Well, I wouldn't have stolen from you if you hadn't enslaved me, you hypocrite." They both could have held on to these excuses and felt justified in not walking the road of repentance, not offering forgiveness to one another, not actually taking this path that would have actually led them to freedom and hopefully to reconciliation. You see, that's one of the things that we need to recognize is that we have this tendency to justify ourselves. We do the very same things, right? I think about that encounter with Craig, right? I could have easily written him off and just been just like, "Well, my coworkers are jealous and my students are just oversensitive, right?" Or maybe I could have said, well, the reason I kept stepping up all the time is because I didn't see everybody else pulling their weight. And I could have offered that justification. There could have become so many reasons why we self-justify and don't take the road of repentance. But if we're truly going to grow in our relationships and build enduring friendships, we have to be willing to let that truth transform us. To consider that if this person is telling me this, it's because there's something in my life that needs to be attended to. Now, maybe they don't have the whole picture. Maybe they don't understand the full story. But again, it should force us to slow down and think carefully and be humble and self-reflective. Now, you see, one of the things that happens when we make these excuses is that we shortchange this opportunity for growth in our own lives and for greater depth in our relationships. There's one excuse that I think many of us, myself included, really struggle with. And the excuse sounds a little something like this. Well, what about the other guy, right? And this excuse is one that we often make because on the surface it sounds so justifiable, right? Like, what if I put myself out there and I'm willing to walk the road of repentance and the other person isn't willing to do the same? Maybe the other person shows no sign of repenting. What if they don't admit their part in the fault? What if they dismiss the truth that I'm telling them? Do I still have to repent? Do I still have to come to the table and be humble and be willing to be changed? But the reality is this is really just another excuse. You see, reconciliation requires two, but repentance simply requires you. It only takes one. We can always allow the truth to change us. What the other person does with the truth isn't our responsibility. See, on the road to repentance, reconciliation might not occur, but we can always walk the road of repentance ourselves. Just because the other person isn't willing to walk the same road doesn't mean that we don't have to. Regardless of what the other person does, repentance can always transform us. That even if they reject us, even if reconciliation doesn't happen, we can still grow and be transformed through the process by being willing to be humble and self-reflective. I actually think of something that Chief Justice John Roberts once said at the commencement address for his son's middle school graduation. I want you to listen to this because this is one of the best speeches that I think I've heard on the power that repentance can have even in the midst of difficult relationships. Here's what he writes. From time to time, in the years to come, I hope you will be treated unfairly so that you will come to know the value of justice. I hope that you will suffer betrayal because that will teach you the importance of loyalty. Sorry to say, but I hope that you will be lonely from time to time so that you don't take friends for granted. I hope you'll be ignored so you know the importance of listening to others. And I hope you'll have just enough pain to learn compassion. Whether I wish these things or not, they're going to happen. And whether you benefit from them or not will depend upon your ability to see the message in your misfortunes. See, no matter what the other person does, the road of repentance is one that invites us to a deeper kind of transformation. And wisdom calls us to respond to the truth by leaving excuses behind and taking a different road. And so the question we have to ask ourselves is, what excuses do I need to leave behind? Maybe as we think about a broken relationship, we've made a lot of excuses about why we're not willing to come to the table. We've placed all the blame on the other person and never really slowed down and asked, what are the things that I can do better? How is this truth meant to change me? What self-justifications are we offering up that keep us from going in a new direction? And I'd really encourage you to reflect on the following. Again, from the book Enduring Friendship, when we are at death's door, and inevitably stare into the rearview mirror of our lives, we will not take joy in our acts of retribution. We won't relish those moments when we held on to our rights for dear life. Instead, we will grieve over the graveyard of relationships that died far too soon because we chose the way of retribution and self-justification over the way of Calvary. We will wish we had been far more like Jesus and died to our rights. Repentance involves going a new direction and leaving excuses behind as we then walk the way of Calvary. So what does that mean? What does it mean to walk the way of Calvary? Well, The way of Calvary, quite simply, is giving up our rights and dying to ourselves for the sake of the relationship with the other person. Let me say that again. The way of Calvary, quite simply, is giving up our rights and dying to ourselves for the sake of the relationship with the other person. See, both Philemon and Onesimus have rights that they have to give up if they're going to restore their friendship. Philemon had to give up his right to justice under the Roman law by refusing to prosecute Onesimus for his theft. But likewise, Onesimus had to give up his right to justice before God by refusing to hold Philemon in contempt as a slave owner. Both of them had to give up these rights in the eyes of the world or in the eyes of God for the sake of the relationship with each other. That's what they had to be willing to let go of. And that's the same thing that we are called to do as well. We have to ask ourselves, what rights do we have to give up for the sake of reconciliation with our friend, our neighbor, our coworker, or our loved one? What rights are we tempted to hold on to that are actually keeping us from experiencing healing and wholeness and strengthening for a deeper relationship? Maybe it's the right to get even. Maybe it's the right to point out all the ways in which they've failed. Maybe it's the right in which they actually owe us something physical in some way, making amends or restitution for something they've stolen, broken, or done wrong. This may be the hardest part of repentance and reconciliation, which is why it's so important to understand that we can only do this when we recognize that this is exactly what Jesus did for us. Jesus had rights that he had to give up in order to be reconciled with us. And here's what I mean. Think about it for a moment. Think of everything that Jesus had to be willing to give up in order to be reconciled, in order to restore our relationship with him. He had to give up his right to justice because of our sins, because of the ways in which we have not loved God and not loved our neighbors. He had to give up his right to safety in heaven in order to come down here to enter into relationship with us. He had to give up his right to a constant connection with the Father as he was abandoned on a cross, dying in our place so that we might be forgiven and welcomed into the kingdom. He laid aside all of this for our sake. And when we understand that that's the lengths he was willing to go for us, how could we do anything less when it comes to our relationships with others? I love how Paul put it in another letter, the letter to the Philippians. Here's what he says. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant. The word actually is the same in Philemon of slave. By taking the very nature of a slave and being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. In giving up his rights, Jesus was pursuing something better, which was reconciliation and new life and new relationships for us and with us for all time and for all eternity. And likewise, we are called to walk that road as well. Because when we do, something greater and more beautiful happens. I want you to imagine for a moment, what would happen if Philemon and Onesimus were truly willing to walk this road of repentance back to each other? I have to imagine that Onesimus comes to Philemon's door and knocks, and that Onesimus opens it and is just shocked to see this man standing in front of him. And before Philemon can say anything, Onesimus thrusts the letter into his hands and he says, "Sir, please, this is from Paul, please read it." Without saying a word, I have to wonder if Philemon opened the letter and read it, and reread it, and read it again. Maybe they didn't talk the rest of that day as Philemon carefully weighed his thoughts and his words. But the next day, Onesimus is surprised when suddenly Philemon invites him to his table. He sits down with his wife and his family. He gets the same portion of food as his former master. And Philemon starts to ask Onesimus, how is Paul? How is the mission in Rome? How is the journey back here? How is the church doing? And suddenly realizes he's not being treated as a slave or a thief, but as a friend, as a brother, and as an equal. You might be sitting there saying that sounds like a fairy tale ending to this story, but here's what we actually know from early church history. We know that Onesimus went on to become the bishop in Ephesus. He became a co-worker and a brother with Philemon. This is no fairy tale ending. This is what took place. This was the beautiful transformation that happened when they were both willing to walk the road of repentance back to each other. Again, one final quote from Brian Laritz on this point. Here's what he says. The work of repentance and reconciliation is not so much about the relationship, as important as that is, but about something far more. When we refuse to remain enslaved to our justifications and instead decide to leave Rome and go back and make things right, we are marching down not just the road of change, but the road of destiny. We are headed to the place where God wants to transform us from slaves to brothers to bishops. That's where repentance can lead. Not just to reconciliation, but to transformation in our friendships and in our walk with God. Now, this kind of friendship requires one more thread, and that's grace, and that's what we'll be talking about next week. But the encouragement for us this weekend is to begin the journey. Allow the truth to change you. Begin walking the road of repentance with Christ as he begins to transform us and helps us to look, live, and love more like him. So it's with that in mind, let's pray. Lord, sometimes the truth is hard to hear, and the road to repentance seems so difficult to walk. And so, Lord, in those moments, I pray that you would help us to see just how far you are willing to walk in order to win us back to yourself. And so, Lord, in the moments when we're tempted to hold on to excuses or to cling to our rights, I pray that you would help us to have the humility to allow the truth to change us. And that in walking that road of repentance, you would walk it with us, helping us to take the steps. That you would help us to come alongside one another and walk that road together, that we might be changed and our friendships and relationships healed and deepened, and that through that kind of reconciliation, we would paint a very different picture for the world of what is possible in our relationships when you are at the center. When your truth transforms us, when your strength helps us to walk the road of repentance, and when your grace nourishes us to forgive in the same ways in which we have been forgiven. Help us to reconcile and build enduring friendships, that through those relationships we would see that the world would see that we have a reconciling God. It's in your name, Jesus, that we pray. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us on the Trinity Podcast. We hope this week's message encouraged you to consider the claims of Jesus in a new way, and we would love to have you join us for worship on the weekend. To find a location near you, visit www.tlc4u.org.